Blog Talk Radio.
It's time to start.
All right, it's game day. You only got one job to do. That's win. That means you stay focused for four quarters. Know your assignments and finish on every play. Don't be looking for shortcuts and don't even think about making excuses. Because if you want the W, you're going to have to earn it. Nothing comes for free. Not 1 yard. You pay for it with sweat, with determination, with heart. You do things the right way because that's the only way. You pick up your teammates. You keep your head high. And you remember everything you went through to get here. Because at the end of the day, there's only one person looking back at you in the mirror. And that's one person you don't want to cheat. So now it's on you. It's your decision to make. You're going to hold back and leave a little something inside? Or you're going to do your job and leave nothing?
Welcome, sports fans. Host Tom Marquis and the Balance team are ready to break down the past week in sports. We bring you that perfect balance of news, commentary, scores, stats, and much more. So sit back and get ready. It's time for the Balance.
After 11 seasons, Albert Pujols is leaving St. Louis.
Yeah, baby. Yeah, baby. Yeah. Welcome back to the Balance and Chatter for Free. I can only say one thing. Balance. You can join us today on a Saturday morning. And I tell you what, real quickly, I do want to spend a moment to send our thoughts and prayers out to the total devastation that happened here in the state of Indiana, in southern Indiana, in a town called Henryville, Indiana, totally wiped out. Of course, there were many other twisters that touched down in Kentucky and Ohio. But whenever you have a storm like this, it really hits home. Our thoughts and prayers go out to you. This entire show is dedicated to you. Throughout the show, we'll give you an opportunity to jot down a number that you can text. And when you text that number, you'll be able to donate $10 to the victims of the through the Salvation Army. That is through the victims of the tornadoes, terrible tornadoes down in southern Indiana. Well, joining me now, our commentator for the next half hour to help us talk some racing, coming up here at 9:05 is going to be Pete LaFuscia. I hope I'm saying that name right, with the RadioSpeedTalk.com. But joining me right now is Mr. $2 Bill, Josh Elmer. Josh, how you doing, sir?
I'm well. How are you, Tom? And while we're dedicating the show to people, let's not forget an event that happened earlier in the week that deserves not to be overshadowed, the school shooting in Ohio.
Yes, absolutely. There's a lot of tragic news stories out there, but that's why you guys have the Balance. The Balance is here to uplift you and to get things rocking and rolling for you. All right, Josh, real quickly, what I want you to do while I get Pete on the phone, I want you to break down the Daytona 500 and your thoughts. I guess Danica was not to be this year. Go ahead, Josh.
No, I guess Danica wasn't to be this year. It was a weird race. It got rained out all day Sunday. They were going to do it Monday at noon. It got rained out till Monday night at 7. Jimmy Johnson, Danica Patrick, a whole bunch of other cars were involved in our wreck. I guess they're saying lap 2. I thought it was the end of lap number 1. I guess it was lap 2 because it started. The leader already crossed the start-finish line. It was good to see Danica go back out there and at least run laps to get some time on the track at Daytona, even though she was a non-factor. It was good to see Matt Kenseth win. My question for you, Tom, and I'm curious to see hear Pete's answer. Did NASCAR intentionally come down too hard on Jimmy Johnson? You have some people saying those penalties were way too harsh, and you have other people saying he got exactly what he deserved. As a Jimmy Johnson fan, I think those penalties were a bit ridiculous. Do you have any thoughts, Tom?
Well, we're going to find out here in just a minute. Guys, it is right. It is time for our racing portion of the show. And as always, every Saturday morning, we're joined with the guys from Radio SpeedTalk.com and Radio Speed Talk, Mr. Pete LaFuscia. And Pete, I do apologize if I'm butchering your name. I only do well with names like Smith, Jones, and whatever. That's why I have a real hard time talking to race car drivers. But Pete, are you with us? Are you with us, Pete?
If you are satisfied with your message, press 1 to listen.
Oh, well, maybe we're still trying to get Pete on the line here. So give us just a moment, and we'll get Pete on the line. But, Josh, go ahead and give us talk a little bit more about Daytona while we continue to try to get him on the line. I thought we had him on the line.
There was also a scary incident. I believe it was on lap 120, 130, somewhere in there. I'm not sure if Tom got a chance to watch the race, but if you watched the Daytona 500 on TV, you saw the jet fuel accident where Juan Pablo Montoya's car spun into the jet dryer. I'm not sure what they had it on the track for that particular moment, but that's probably the
Hey, Josh, I think we do have Pete on the line now. Pete, are you with us?
Yes, I am.
All right, buddy. Well, that's good because you missed butchering your name when it comes to – that's why I said I always have a hard time talking to race car drivers. I do better with names like Smith, Jones, Biffle, Stewart. But
well, the great thing about having a last name like LaFuscia, you know what a bill collector's calling.
Absolutely. Well, like I said, it is. We're going to try this again, guys. I have this whole big sound bite music ready to go. So, you know, we got to just do it.
He's gaining on you, so you better look alive. He's busy revving up the powerful hot five. And when the odds are against him and there's dangerous work to do.
All right, the theme song from Speed Racer. Well, guys, this is going to be our normal... intro segment, I guess, if you will. Every Saturday morning, we'll be joined with the guys from RadioSpeedTalk.com who have a national syndicated radio show on racing. And then joining me also is Mr. $2 Bill, Josh, and Pete LaFuscia. Well, guys, as we were just talking about before we got Pete on the line, we were talking about the big wreck with Don Juan Pop. See, it started with
Juan Pablo Montoya.
Juan Pop Don Juan. Don, well, he probably is a Don Juan. Guys, let's listen to this soundbite. Thanks to our friends from over at NASCAR.com. We'll be right back.
And now, under caution, Juan Pablo Montoya has crashed and gone aflame.
Holy cow, what happened? We just got a report and he was complaining about a bad vibration in every gear.
No, Larry, he just slammed into
the jet dryer.
I think he slammed into the jet dryer.
They're trying to clear debris off the racetrack and the car brakes won't steer and he slides up the track and into the back of that surplus helicopter jet engine on a trailer used to dry the racetrack.
Mike, I saw sparks coming out from the car as if it had a tire down or something. What an incredible turn of events. I've never in my life. Oh, my gosh.
And all that spilled jet fuel found something hot to ignite it. Safety workers quickly on the scene. And this is a bizarre twist to this Daytona 500. Down in turn number 3.
Okay.
seen a lot of things, but I don't think I've ever seen anything quite like this. I just wonder if Montoya was going down the back catching up with the field, and he didn't know the safety truck was up there. They called him on the radio and said, watch that safety truck, and the car darted hard right.
And you're looking at what happens when 200 gallons of jet fuel meet a spark or something very hot after a collision like that. More fire trucks going to the scene. Now, that's the front of the race car. It hit the trailer, which went up in the air, and the race car pretty much submarined underneath it.
Most bizarre.
All right, guys. You know, when you see a wreck like that, Pete, you can only think about, unfortunately, what's fresh in our memory is the Dan Weldon incident. And fortunately, you know, it was an incident where nobody was seriously hurt. So, Pete, let's talk with you a little bit about Daytona. We'll talk a little bit about that wreck, and let's get your thoughts and your input on the Daytona 500. And as I was talking with Josh briefly at the beginning of the show, Denica was not to be this year in the Daytona 500.
Well, basically, it took something like Juan Pablo running into the back of a jet dryer to actually take any focus off of her. Because think about it. She laps on wreck two or three at the beginning of the race, and they've got cameras in there honing in on her while they're replacing the rear end and all that. She's going to be no factor in the race, but yet she's still getting as much or more camera time than the guys that are out on the track. So it took something like this to take a little bit of the focus away from her. And believe me, it was a whole weird weekend the way everything was going, from the first-time winner in the Truck Series, the first-time winner in the Nationwide Series, to the first rain delay in the ever history of it, to another rain delay the next day, and then moving it to prime time on Monday night and giving it some of the highest ratings it's ever had in recent history. I mean, there was just so many things weird that were going on. I mean, after last year, seeing all the stuff that was going on, it's like, how could that be topped? And look at what we did with this year. And again, it's just so strange to see all that was going on. Basically, a lot of people, and my co-host, Cliff Tanner, he's convinced that Juan Pablo hit some liquid and it was all his fault, but they're actually saying that like an A-arm broke before he hit that area, which caused the car to take a beeline up there, and then you've got the jokes, it was a one in a million shot with that one.
Right, and I absolutely agree. Now, Josh, I know you brought up an interesting question that I've heard other people talk about. And Josh is Pete. Josh is always good for our conspiracy theories here on the show. So, Josh, you always got to have somebody to bring
Every
that out.
Every show's got one.
So go ahead, Josh.
My question, Pete, and I know how I feel about it. Before I tell you how I feel, let me go ahead and clarify. I am a Jimmy Johnson fan. It's part of the reason I feel this way. NASCAR went way above and beyond, almost to the point of being ridiculously absurd with their penalties against the 48 car. I guess I agree with Kevin Harvick. Innovation is what made NASCAR. So what do you think, Pete? Did it fit the crime?
I'm not saying it's a crime. I think it's a crime what NASCAR did. And here's the sad thing is, you guys don't know much about me, but I really, before I got into radio doing, covering, racing, all my friends knew I couldn't stand Jimmy Johnson. So now they find it funny that I'm actually defending all this stuff that Chad Knaus is doing and things like that. And I think what NASCAR did is a crime. I think it's a crime that they just looked at that C post and said, you know what, this doesn't fit, cut the roof off and change the car and all that, when they really didn't have a template to go by with that. And I agree with what Kevin Harvick said and others have said, that innovation is what moved this sport forward, okay? Again, you're not going to have to look back and say, wow, should we consider a Junior Johnson or a Smokey Unick, call these guys cheaters and all that? No, what they did is they found a way around it. And I think what Chad Knaus does is he sits and looks at that rule book like a chess game, and he moves two moves ahead of NASCAR. And he's like, okay, what happens if we change this? What happens if we change that? I mean, do you remember the year that Ryan Newman was winning all those races back in, I think it was 2003, and Matt Borland had figured out that basically, you know what, they say that the fuel line only has to be so long, and what happens if we make a thinner red fuel line, and therefore when they're packing fuel in there, it can expand it and give it an extra half gallon of gas? Well, that's how Newman ended up winning three or four fuel mileage races that year, because then at the end of the race, he had enough fuel, and they're like, okay, you know, the rules said, yeah, it had to be this length, but now it's got to be this thickness. So people are always innovating in certain ways with what they're doing, and that's all Chad Knaus is doing. And I think he is probably the greatest crew chief ever when it comes to that. He's looking at the rule book, thinks of it like a chess match, and he's two, three, four moves ahead of NASCAR.
Right, and you know what? We certainly got a lot to cover, because obviously we've got Phoenix today. I don't believe, and you might correct me on this, Pete, but I don't think the next truck race is until March the 31st. Am I correct on that?
Yeah, I think it's Martinsville is going to be the next truck race. So you're going to be seeing a lot of Nationwide, a.k.a. a lot of Danica. But the good thing is we don't have to worry about Danica in the Cup until Darlington, and that's not till early May.
And you know what? Here's the thing. I think she even made the comment, and it might have been a different racetrack, but I heard that she made a comment. I don't even know where that's at. I think she said, I don't even know where Darlington is. So hopefully she figures out where that's at.
Insult. Yeah, it's only one of the more prestigious racetracks in northern South Carolina.
If I could interject for a minute.
Sure.
So, Pete, are you saying you agree? And at first I disagreed with Mike Langetti's comment, but it absolutely applies to NASCAR, too. Yeah, IndyCar may be sad to lose Danica Patrick, but at the end of the day, it may be the best thing that ever happened to IndyCar is to get rid of all the Danica garbage, because people didn't talk about Weldon winning the Indy 500 last year. They talked about how Danica did. They didn't talk about Frank Keating. They talked about Danica. Monday night, watching the Daytona 500, you'd have thought Danica had left the entire field as much as they were talking about it.
I agree with you 100%. And I mean, the best comment that I heard on the whole Danica mania, or whatever they're calling it now, is what the gentleman on Wind Tunnel said. He basically said that, okay, it's one thing to make a spectacle of her and make her the cover of it, but if she doesn't start producing, then the press has to start getting away from her. And I agree with that 100%. She's got to show something more than sexiness, and I think she said something, and I wish I had it in front of me. She had a comment talking about, oh, if a woman does it, they have to be sexy about it, and she's just not that way. It's like, wait, look at those GoDaddy commercials you do. You have an open check. That's why you're where you're at. If she wasn't doing the GoDaddy commercials, being sexy, showing a little bit of leg, then she wouldn't be there. I mean, she won one race in the IRL, okay? There's a plethora of drivers that have won one race in the IRL. So I don't see that would be something that you hang your hat on. Now, is she a savior for NASCAR, bringing people? Yeah, she's... When somebody who's not a big fan or is a casual fan of NASCAR looks at USA Today, sees her on the cover, they're like, okay, you know, I'm going to see what this is about. I'll tune in. That helps in the short term. But in the long term, that I don't know if that's going to help overall. I mean, I know a bunch of IRL people are happy to see her go, because there are so many more better drivers out there that got 1/100th of the press coverage she did.
All right, guys, well, we got to take a break. When we get back, we're going to break down this week's racing in NASCAR and around the racing circuit right here on The Balance. We'll be right back.
I work out. Girl, look at that body. Girl, look at that body.
Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fastlane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions. Work with them today.
Owning a pet can be so rewarding, but challenging at times. Do you have to work and can't make it to the vet? Are you away from home for long periods at a time? Is there a new pet at home that needs attention? Are you out of pet food and can't get to the store? Does your yard need cleared of pet waste? Do you have a unique pet that needs special care? Are you going away and you don't want to send your pet to the unfamiliar surroundings of a kennel? If so, Terry's Indie Pet Service can help in all these situations. In addition, full-service grooming will be offered later this year. When you hire Tips, you can leave home and know that your pet is exercised, fed, watered, and given medication, all in the comfort of their own environment. There is no longer a need for your healthy animal to stay in an uncomfortable kennel. Tips can solve the challenges of pet ownership. If you want the most personalized care for your pet, then hire Terry's Indie Pet Service. Visit her on the web at HireTips.com. That's HireTips.com. Or call her at 317-410-3377. Tips, your pets can play while you're away.
Here we go again.
The best hits. Best hits. And the biggest variety.
Biggest variety.
I want it, I need it, and I'm gonna have it.
There's no other station like it on the planet. WROM, realmsofmusic.com. Blaine.
Pump it up, guys. We're talking with Pete LaFuscia of Radio Speed. Is it RadioSpeedTalk.com or just Radio Speed Talk?
That's correct. RadioSpeedTalk.com. We tried to get Speed Talk, but some guy owns it down in Florida and hasn't updated it since 2007 and won't sell it to us. So we had to put the word radio in front of it.
Well, we're proud to have you a part of the balance, and also IndyProSports.com. Guys, check it out. If you've not checked out IndyProSports.com, obviously Cliff and Pete's caricature mug is right there. Click that, and you'll go right to their website and check out everything that they've got. And they've got everything racing, that's for sure. One thing I want to do is get one of those caricatures. That's cool. I like that.
I can hook you up with that.
Sounds good. I would say you could follow Pete on Twitter, but yesterday on the phone in a pre-show conversation, Pete informed me that Twitter was of the devil.
I think they're evil. That's all it is. It's one of those. If you would have asked me 2 years ago, I might have considered it. But it was one of those. It's like, you know what? I put way too much time into Facebook right now. Why do I want to do a different account? And then it's just been slowly festering like a pimple on your skin. To a head to where I'm like, you know, I don't know if I want to be on Twitter. Everybody's getting in trouble. If somebody puts something on there, it's out there forever. One of the best quotes I ever heard was, history is written in pencil, but the internet is written in ink. And anything you put out there is there forever. You can't change it. I mean, from the little girl in Wisconsin or in Kansas who was Twittering while she was visiting the state house that the governor's speech is boring and he blows, to look at the guy from ESPN who talked about a commercial like he was talking to his buddies and now he's unemployed. And I agree with and the thing that made me convinced that I'll never get a Twitter account is ESPN's Jesse Palmer. He says no, he will not get on there because of that. I don't need to know everybody's thoughts at that exact moment and they don't need to know mine. And if you've ever went to like a viewing party, like I went to a NFC championship viewing party, and everybody's on their phones twittering, and they're missing half the game. Who cares? Wait till the game's over, then post something. They're all quick to throw out the first comment. So that's why I don't get on Twitter. But we do have a Twitter account that Cliff takes care of, and that's Radio Speed Talk 2.
All right, Pete. Well, we're going to keep you on his soapbox here. We're going to break down the nationwide race real quickly because, obviously, we've got the sprint car race that we want to talk about as well. And I know we've only got him till 9:30, and then we've got Jay Graves with the Jay Graves Report. I'm going to jump in here and talk some NBA with us, the hot joint of the week. And the last hour, guys, remember, as always, myself, Jimmy the Intern, and Evan Williams will be talking college hoops, getting you ready for March Madness and your brackets. All right, Pete and Josh, the race, the nationwide race takes to Phoenix today. Qualifying begins at 1 o'clock. What are your thoughts about the nationwide race, guys? Pete?
I think that this is going to be a make or break for the two guys with Roush Fenlay. Not that they need any help. I mean, Trevor Bayne, he won a race in Nationwide last year. He also won the Daytona 500 the previous year. But for some reason, and it's also up in the cup, Roush is having a hard time getting sponsors for their teams. And, again, the Blue Oval service is only going to be on Trevor's car until I think like early April, late March. So he's got to do something and do something fast. And Ricky Stenhouse Jr., even though he won the championship, he's got the Roush 25 years logo on there, which means they couldn't get a sponsor for him either. They need to do something, both of them, to make a staple so Roush can go out and get some money on those cars to keep them going. And so I look for those two to be really contending and really hard because I think Roush Fenlay is going to put their resources into it. And then a dark horse in that race, I still say you got to watch out for, I think, Kurt Busch or Kyle Busch, one of the two driving that car. They can't have too many races of it wrecking out like did Daytona. So those will be ones to watch out for.
Josh, what are your thoughts on the nationwide race?
I absolutely have to agree. I don't think Danica Patrick's even the best girl in this race, no offense. I think Joanna Long has more natural talent than Danica has. She couldn't drive it Daytona, and I'm flat out going to tell you Danica Patrick cannot handle Phoenix. That car is all about getting up on the track's all about getting up on the wheel, being able to drive the tires off the race car. Danica couldn't do that in IndyCar, and I highly doubt she can do it in NASCAR.
All right, real quickly,
I just want to correct you a little bit. You mentioned that Joanna Long is the better driver out there. I would agree with you. The only thing is she was on our show this week, and you can check it out on RadioSpeedTalk.com. She's going to be missing the Phoenix race because ML Motorsports doesn't have a big budget. They're saving their money, and they're going to be racing at Las Vegas. So she won't be there. That won't be a factor in it.
All right, guys, we're talking to Pete LaFiscia of RadioSpeedTalk.com. Again, you can find, just go to the character of Clip and Pete on IndyProSports.com. Click their character, and it'll take you right to their website. And they have everything racing. I promise you this much, you will not be disappointed. And one person who was not disappointed last week at Daytona was Matt Kenseth. And let's talk a little bit about the sprint car race. But real quickly, obviously Penske changing manufacturers, going over to Ford. Didn't see that one coming. Pete, what are your thoughts on that? And let's merge right in into the sprint car race out there in the desert.
It surprises me to see that Penske is leaving Dodge, but then it almost doesn't because they had a great run there with Ford back in the mid to late 90s to 2002, 2003 when they switched over to Dodge. So I think Roger wanted to go back and get with an organization that allows him to still do what they're doing but also have the manufacturing backing that they do with Ford. And then if you also look at everything that they were doing leading up to this, it almost makes you seem like, okay, maybe he was planning on doing this. One thing, when Kurt Busch left Roush Fenlay, there was a bad taste in the Ford Motorsports camp about all the stuff that he had done. So with him being with Penske, looking for a reason to get rid of him, open up the door to bring in another driver. And if you think of it, there was a darling with the Ford camp, it was A.J. Allmendinger, even though he had one, bring him in there and then get everything ready. Look at what they're doing as a manufacturer. I mean, when they said, okay, we're going to show our 2013 car, Ford shows theirs 2 weeks ahead of all the other manufacturers. So it says, hey, look, we're ahead of schedule. We're really behind this. That's what we're going to do. Focusing on the Phoenix race, I think we're going to carry some momentum over from the Daytona 500. And I think think it's going to be Greg Biffle's the guy who's going to be wanting to win that one. When they showed the statistics on the throttle position and the braking, which is this is the first time they did it in a cup race, they showed that the last couple of laps, Greg Biffle never once let off the throttle and he didn't touch the brake once, whereas Junior and Kenseth both had braked just a little bit and laid off the throttle. So there's a guy right there who was really, really fighting to win, but it was the physics and the way they got the grille opening in the front creating an air bubble that he just couldn't break through.
All right, Josh, real quickly, any thoughts on Phoenix out there?
I actually looked for the 48 car to go to victory lane based off the ticked off factor, and they looked somewhat fast yesterday, so I have a feeling they're going to put the car in victory lane.
All right, real quickly, Pete, I know we got to let you go. We got to get ready for Jay Graves of the jgravesreport.com and talk a little bit of NBA. But PIR out there in Arizona has did a lot of repaving out there over the wintertime. Obviously, they could do that in Arizona. Do you think that that's going to hurt or help any of the teams out there as we go into this weekend's race?
Well, they did a lot of their paving over the summer. They did their first race under the old banking and pavement, repaved it. So we have one race. They have one amount of statistics on how to drive out at Phoenix, what they did with the last one, and that was the progressive banking and changing the bankings in 3 and 4, taking 4, grading it down to almost a flatter surface. So when they come out of 3, it's a lot leveler surface for them to go down to the start-finish line with. So I don't see that the paving is going to be all that much different. Back to what Josh was saying about Jimmy Johnson all them being a factor, if they hadn't paved this track, I would have agreed with you 100%, because who owned the Phoenix track? And that was Jimmy Johnson. But then when you look at the race they did in the fall, Jimmy Johnson really didn't have a good showing there. So they're without Knaus, I think there might be a little bit of a he's obviously got the motivation to do it, show, hey, you get rid of my crew chief, I'm going to show you I can win without him. But there's also, he didn't do too well the last time, but that was only one race. So that's my thoughts on that.
All right, Pete LaFuscia of RadioSpeed.com. I can't talk today. Pete, real quickly, where can people find your work and your masterpieces as they're out there surfing the World Wide Web?
RadioSpeedTalk.com, or you can check us out at Facebook, type in the keyword Speed Talk, or you can talk on Twitter, which I don't answer, but Cliff will, Radio Speed Talk 2.
All right, buddy, we will see you next Saturday, and happy racing to you, sir.
Thank you.
Fastlane Cycles Incorporated, located in 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fastlane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions. Work with them today.
You are among friends.
It may be the most emotionally satisfying place I've ever been.
A whole big station of friends.
I belong now.
Woo-hoo! WROM, playing tomorrow's hottest artist today.
Boys and girls, you know what that music means. It's time for Jay Graves of the JayGravesReport.com and the hot joint of the week. And we're going to be talking some NBA fresh off the All-Star break. And joining us also is Mr. $2 Bill Josh. How's everybody doing today? Holla at your boy, Jay.
Holla at your boy. What's going on, man?
What's going on? Hey, guys, real quickly, as we said at the top of the hour, we'll try to say this at the beginning of each segment. We're dedicating this show to the victims down in Henryville. What a terrible tragedy that was across Indiana, Ohio, and Kentucky. Last count, it looks like around 29 confirmed dead, and that is just absolutely, oh my goodness, that's just a terrible tragedy. So we dedicate this show. Guys, if you want to donate $10 to the Salvation Army to help with the relief efforts down there in southern Indiana, text Hoosier to 80888. So 80888. So 80888. Text Hoosier for $10 donation to the Salvation Army. And what a terrible tragedy that is. But hopefully ourselves and Jay Graves and $2 Bill Josh can help you refocus. And again, our thoughts and prayers go out to the victims of the devastation of the Twisters down in southern Indiana, which is where we call home here in Indiana, that is. So we always want to make sure that we make an acknowledgement of that as well. All right, Jay Graves, welcome back to the Balance, sir. Fresh off the All-Stars. First of all, what are your thoughts about the All-Stars? Was it everything that you thought that it would be, or did you think that it was just a big surprise?
Well, you know what? The All-Star game is always, in my opinion, garbage because nobody's really playing. I mean, at the end of the ball game, obviously, guys played real tough in the last probably 3.5 to 4 minutes of the game. But, you know, it's one of those where everybody wants to showboat. You know, it's cool. You know, you after about 5 or 6 minutes of seeing guys run up and down the floor dunking and alley-ooping, it gets old. And so you have to sit through the ball game to see if it's going to be worth watching at the end because everybody wants to win at the end. But, you know, it is what it is. It's the same thing you always see.
All right, $2 Bill Josh, what were your thoughts on the All-Star? Josh, are you with us? Well, maybe maybe we lost. Josh, are you with us? I don't know where he went. Maybe we'll get him back here in just a second. But all right, Jay, we're going to go right into the Pacers. Let's talk a little bit about the Pacers. Obviously, they had a good game coming off the All-Star break. So what do you thought about how the Pacers are playing right now?
Oh, yeah, I was at the ball game on Tuesday night when they played Golden State. Obviously, they did what they were supposed to do. They came out and played very well. Golden State's a terrible team at this point. New coach in Mark Jackson. We were great to see Mark at the field house again. But they're doing well. And then tonight they're back in action against New Orleans, and they're trying to go after the sixth consecutive win. You know, they haven't had six consecutive wins since the 05 season. So it ought to be really interesting.
All right, Josh, are you with us?
Yes, I'm here. Getting back to the All-Star game, the actual game for a moment, and then I have a comment about the dunk contest. First of all, what do you think of Wade? I want to say he intentionally broke Kobe's nose, and he should have been thrown out of the All-Star game. The only reason he wasn't thrown out is because it was the All-Star. Do you expect retaliation during tomorrow's Lakers Heat game, which, by the way, is on 3:30 at the ABC? And also, how does Paul George dunk in the dark and not win the All-Star Slam Dunk Contest?
Go ahead, Jay.
The Slam Dunk Contest was garbage from start to finish. I mean, that was probably the worst dunk contest they've ever had. I mean, if you're not going to have the best dunk, like I said last week, if you're not going to have the best dunkers in the game in the dunk contest, it's pointless to do it.
All right, guys. Well, let's move on. With obviously, we got a lot to talk about. We've got the hot joint of the week coming up here in just a moment. But I want to talk a little bit about the NBA, the NBA standings. Here's what I think. Obviously, I like the Pacers. I like what they're doing. But it just looks like they're in the East that Miami and Chicago is taking off with the race. But hopefully with the rotation and the return, hopefully, we hope anyway, of Foster with the Pacers, maybe the Pacers will be right there in the thick of things as well. But keep in mind, guys, you can follow everything on the Pacers on IndyProSports.com. So my question is, Jay, Miami, the Heat and the Bulls and the Pacers, or do you just think that this is kind of a Heat and Bulls type of situation?
Yeah, it's only two teams in that race. I mean, obviously, it's great to see Indiana stand in the third spot, and they'll be able to draw, you know, New York or Boston or something like that, or Atlanta in the first round of the playoffs, Atlanta or Orlando or something. So they'll be able to probably to it, have an opportunity to advance to the second round. But clearly the two best teams in the East, Chicago and Miami, there's no question at all that those two teams will play in the Eastern Conference Finals.
All right, Josh, real quickly, what are your thoughts about where the Heat, the Pacers, and the Bulls are?
I think the Miami Heat are above the Chicago Bulls. I wonder if you would put the Indiana Pacers in that grouping. If you're going to add a third team in the East, I would put Philadelphia as a third team before I put the Pacers. But, well, like I said, tune into tomorrow night's Miami Heat game.
All right, guys. Well, let's move on through the go out to the West. Obviously, Oklahoma City continues to dominate the West out there. The Clippers continue to do that. What I want to know is, I didn't know that Kobe Bryant took up hockey, Jay.
But you know what? I mean, it was a hard foul, which was crazy. But you know, I don't know if I believe that Dwayne Wade intentionally tried to break his nose.
I don't know. Maybe there was a bounty.
You know, I don't think, because let's be honest. The Lakers are a middle-of-the-road team in the Western Conference. Kobe can't beat them by himself. I mean, with or without the broken nose, if Miami goes out and plays the way they're supposed to play, they're gonna beat L.A. with no problem. Kobe's out there by himself. He doesn't have an ounce of help. So it wouldn't do you any good to try to hurt Kobe, because they don't have a team anyway.
Well, and I never thought I'd say this, but the Clippers are a better team than the L.A. Lakers.
Exactly.
Oh, my goodness. Well, all right, Josh, I know you've always got something to say about the NBA. Josh, do you have anything for Jay on the NBA? Let's stir the pot here a little bit. Let's engage our listeners. Obviously, guys, if you want to call in, give us a call, 917-889-8516, and we're always engaging the fan. Because there is a new spot for your voice, and that's IndyProSports.com. And we're always stirring the pot over there. But I know, Josh, you really like to stir the pot, and Jay, you're good about it as well. So before we get into Hot Joint of the Week, let's do a little pot stirring. Not pot smoking, but pot stirring. Josh, how are you going to stir the pot this week?
All right, so whether you believe it was intentional or not intentional, I have three topics I'd like to get your thoughts on, Jay. Will the Lakers retaliate? And if so, will they pick to retaliate against Wade or LeBron? Should the Pacers make a play for Rajon Rondo? And do you really think the Clippers are a better team than the Lakers?
Okay, I'll get the easy ones out the way first. Obviously, yes, I think the Clippers are a lot better team than the Lakers. I think everybody can see that. You know, Lob City is doing very well because they got a point guard. You know, L.A. doesn't have a true point, so, that, you know, it is what it is. I don't think that the Lakers team has the personality, if you will, to retaliate against either LeBron, D-Wade, or even the Heat. You know, every now and then you have those guys on the team that may just retaliate and not tell anybody. Just like I remember Chris Webber took a shot at somebody a few years ago and didn't tell anybody on the team that he was going to clothesline. It must have been Stockton or something. I can't remember who it was, but, you know, it blew everybody away. But I don't think they'll do that. What was the other question?
Should the Pacers try to make a play for Rajon Rondo if the Celtics are serious about dealing him?
Well, you know what? I was talking with JMV earlier in the week, and you know, that was the topic of conversation. And, you know, obviously the Celtics now are backtracking, saying that, hey, they're not gonna deal him, et cetera. But the question came up is, if the Pacers had an opportunity to get Rajon Rondo, should they do it? He was saying, well, he's not going to sell tickets. I'm like, you got to be out of your mind. I mean, if you can get Rajon Rondo, you get him, because we need he's probably one of the top three point guards in the league, and he's a star. So he would sell jerseys, he would sell tickets, he would get more than 10,000-11,000 people at Bankers Life Fieldhouse if you brought in Rajon Rondo. But at this point, from what the Boston Celtics are saying, is they're not gonna deal him. So we don't know where that goes.
You know what else he does, Jay?
What?
He plays defense. Name a single player on the Pacers who plays defense.
Exactly. Hey, I agree 100% with you.
All right, guys, we got to take a break. When we get back, we're going to talk more with Jay Graves of the JayGravesReport.com. And it's the hot joint of the week coming up right here on The Balance.
Owning a pet can be so rewarding, but challenging at times. Do you have to work and can't make it to the vet? Are you away from home for long periods at a time? Is there a new pet at home that needs attention? Are you out of pet food and can't get to the store? Does your yard need cleared of pet waste? Do you have a unique pet that needs special care? Are you going away and you don't want to send your pet to the unfamiliar surroundings of a kennel? If so, Terry's Indie Pet Service can help in all these situations. In addition, full-service grooming will be offered later this year. When you hire Tips, you can leave home and know that your pet is exercised, fed, watered, and given medication, all in the comfort of their own environment. There is no longer a need for your healthy animal to stay in an uncomfortable kennel. Tips can solve the challenges of pet ownership. If you want the most personalized care for your pet, then hire Terry's Indie Pet Service. Visit her on the web at HireTips.com. That's HireTips.com. Or call her at 317-410-3377. Tips, your pets can play while you're away.
Continuous hit music. This is what we are. What we are. This is what we do.
A lot of stuff.
WROM. Playing tomorrow's hottest artist today.
Yes, sir, sorry. Okay. Hi, this is Frank Bobo, head coach of the Indiana Pacers, and you're listening to The Balance.
11 games Friday night, and these were the best of the best. 10-1. We begin with the most valuable player. Look at Derrick Rose getting to the cup, and check out the extension to get the deuce, getting around the defender. It's a great win for the Bulls as they beat the Cavs. In Philadelphia on a special night commemorating the 50th anniversary of Wilt Chamberlain scoring 100, Drew Holiday spinning and faking, beating Elton Brand. A little defense, Wilt would have appreciated this. Kenyon Martin, the rejection on Shannon Brown. He catches it off the backboard, and off the Clippers go. At number 7, a whole lot on the countdown from this game. Utah and Miami, including LeBron, the Tomahawk. A monster jam, 2 of his 35. Much more from Utah to come. At number 6, Jarrett Jack, the no-look pass to the big fella. Chris Kamen, third straight double-double. What a feed by Jack. Kamen at 20-13. To Boston for number 5, Chris Wilcox gets the rebound. And check out the one-handed slam, turning and throwing it down at the same time, right over Sheldon Williams. Third straight win for the Celtics. Out to Staples Center, where Kobe Bryant continues to be the masked man, but here is Pau Gasol feeding Andrew Bynum. What a feed. No look from Pau. Bynum had 19-15 in the Lakers win. At number 3, back to Utah, Earl Watson goes between his legs with a bounce pass to Alex Burks. 1 of 7 assists for Earl Watson. None better than that one. Play number 2, Memphis and Toronto. It's James Johnson. He had 14 points, including this one, extending over Rudy Gay, taking the elevator to the rim. But it was in a loss. And our top play,
comes from Utah, where Devin Harris fakes out LeBron, then gets the foul from Dwayne, and the teardrop goes. And that was the difference as the Jazz stunned the Heat. Devin Harris with the difference maker for the Jazz, ending Miami's 9-game win streak. That's your top 10 from Friday around the NBA.
Back to the ballots. Special thanks to our friends over at NBATV.com for providing us with the top 10 plays of Friday night. Well, guys, it's time for the hot joint of the week. I know this is what everybody's been waiting for all week long with Jay Graves and the JayGravesReport.com. It's all about the haters. I'll ask your boy. Well, guys, Derrick Rose looks like he's flirting with Michael Jordan's records again. How dare him? Potential $2 million shoe deal. Come on, guys. It's just sneakers. Seriously. Go ahead, Mr. Jay Graves. Tell us all about the hater.
Hey, well, look here, man. The hot joint of the week. I know you guys will feel me on this. The hottest joint of the week this week on the blog was an article called Bonafide Haters. And what I was talking about here in this article, I'm constantly blown away by the amount of people that hate on guys for having success and doing it the non-traditional way. Derrick Rose, at the beginning of the season, signed a $94.8 million contract, and then just last week, right during All-Star weekend, signed a $200 million contract with Adidas, with $185 million of that guaranteed. And I remember just a couple years ago, during his rookie season, I was at a Pacers-Chicago Bulls game, and there was a guy sitting in the stands with a sign that said, "Hey, Derrick Rose, I took my SATs," you know, as to take a shot at him, because there was this controversy as to whether he actually took his SAT or not to get into the University of Memphis. Well, he wouldn't have had to cheat on the SAT or do something crazy if the NBA hadn't forced the guy to go to college. You know, everybody doesn't have to go to college in order to be successful. And so this is a prime example. And I'm not saying that he should have cheated on the SAT, or did I justify him cheating on the SAT. But this is a prime example of someone that has an ability to play the game, and college has nothing to do with it. And there's a lot of people in the world, like musicians, artists, entertainers, and actors and actresses that never go to college because they have a gift that nobody else has. And so I'm just blown away that people hate on them for no reason when this guy has a great ability to do something and make money. What's your guys' thoughts?
All right, Josh, we'll start with you. Derrick Rose, what are your thoughts? Hater or love it?
I hate Derrick Rose as a Pacer fan, but as strictly an NBA fan, Derrick Rose may be the most unstoppable player in the National Basketball Association. Some people are going to tell you he's the best point guard. My only problem with that, Derrick Rose is not a two-point guard. And the reason he's not a two-point guard, the Bulls don't need him to be. So I'd say he's the most unstoppable player in the league.
Well, you know what? Here's the thing, guys. I like Derrick Rose, and I'm a capitalist kind of guy. I'm all for this. If you can make money, make it. However, it's just sneakers, guys. Come on. It's no wonder. And you're a parent. You've got a teenager there, or close to a teenager, Jay.
Yeah,
when they come to you and say, "I need $100 for a pair of sneakers," and you say, "What? You know why it's $100 for a pair of sneakers? Because you got to pay guys like Derrick Rose $200 million.
My ideas walk through college doors and roam all over Coliseum floors. I play on stage at Live Aid.
Really?
That's it. And you pulled that one out of the cellar, man.
I tell you. I'm down there digging, brother.
hey, but you know what? I mean, but here's the deal. Adidas wouldn't pay him $200 million if people weren't running out and buying the doggone sneakers. I mean, basically, he put Adidas back on the map, because for years, you know, Jordan has just owned the sneaker game. And now all of a sudden kids are wearing Adidas again. I mean, they were wearing Adidas heavily when I was a kid because you had songs like that. You had Run DMC. You had the Shell Toe Adidas. But, you know, nobody's been wearing them since probably 86, since the Air Jordan came out. And so now this guy is re-energized that brand. So, hey, you got to pay. But what I'm just always blown away that, see, guys that make it to the league from areas like where Derrick Rose is from, he's from Southside Chicago. A lot of these guys that grow up in the hood, they don't just make it to the league because they could play basketball. They made it to the league because they were blessed enough to be able to make it through the war zone. There are so many guys that have the talent of Derrick Rose playing in the neighborhoods that never make it, that never even see that 18th birthday. I don't know if you remember, but in 1984, there's a guy lived in the same neighborhood as Derrick Rose that played for Simeon High School, the same school. He's the number one basketball recruit in the country, a guy named Ben Wilson. He was murdered on lunch hour standing in front of the school coming out of the candy store because he bumped into some gang member walking out of the store. So that's why it upsets me when people constantly hate on a guy that's come out of all of that and made good for himself just because he didn't stay in college. Well, everybody doesn't have to go to college to make a living.
And those are the same guys that are going to vote for Obama because they hate the upper 1%. Oh, I'm sorry, wrong show. Wrong topic. Josh, what are you, any more thoughts on before we let Jay go here? Because I know he's tied up for time, and we got to get to the top of the hour for our college talk, guys. Remember, this whole show is dedicated to the victims down in Henryville. And also, certainly, guys, if you want to donate money, you can do that by just simply texting Hoosier to 80888. And just what a catastrophe down there. All of our prayers from the balance go out to all of the family members down in Henryville, Ohio, Indiana, and Kentucky. But Josh, any final thoughts for Jay on Rose and the Adidas?
No, not on Rose, but Tom, if I may venture off topic, while we still have a chance before it's after the fact, Jay, Thursday.
Yeah.
Pay him, cut him. I don't even need to say who he is. Pay him, cut him.
Say that again. It was breaking up.
On Thursday, are the Colts going to pay him or cut him?
Cut him.
Pay him. And now they're actually not going to pay him. They're going to release him and then sign him. Guys, the writing's on the wall. I've said it. I'm going to continue to say it. The Colts draft RG3 and keep Peyton Manning. I'm just saying. Well, any final thoughts, Mr. Jay Graves, before we let you go?
Hey, that's it. If you guys want to read more about the Bonafide Haters or any other articles that hot joints that I've written, you can go to thejgravesreport.com or you can hit me up on Twitter @jgravesreport. Holler at your boy.
All right, Jay, we'll catch you next week for Hot Joint of the Week. Guys, stick around. We'll be right back with Evan Williams and Jimmy the Intern, and we're going to talk some college hoops and get you ready for your bracket.
Get around together, forever, and we won't be mad with more than that.
Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions. Work with them today.
Owning a pet can be so rewarding, but challenging at times. Do you have to work and can't make it to the vet? Are you away from home for long periods at a time? Is there a new pet at home that needs attention? Are you out of pet food and can't get to the store? Does your yard need cleared of pet waste? Do you have a unique pet that needs special care? Are you going away and you don't want to send your pet to the unfamiliar surroundings of a kennel? If so, Terry's Indie Pet Service can help in all these situations. In addition, full-service grooming will be offered later this year. When you hire Tips, you can leave home and know that your pet is exercised, fed, watered, and given medication, all in the comfort of their own environment. There is no longer a need for your healthy animal to stay in an uncomfortable kennel. Tips can solve the challenges of pet ownership. If you want the most personalized care for your pet, then hire Terry's Indie Pet Service. Visit her on the web at HireTips.com. That's HireTips.com. Or call her at 317-410-3377. Tips, your pets can play while you're away.
Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated, located in 100 Gasoline Alley, Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
Welcome, sports fans. Host Tom Marquis and the Balance team are ready to break down the past week in sports. We bring you that perfect balance of news, commentary, scores, stats, and much more. So sit back and get ready. It's time for the Balance.
Continuous hit music.
Oh, yeah.
This is what we are. What we are. This is what we do.
A lot of stuff.
WROM. Playing tomorrow's hottest artist today.
Welcome back to The Balance. My name's Tom Marquis, El Presidente. We're welcome back to the final segment, hour number two. And you know what that means, guys? It is time for March Madness. That's right, guys. I can finally say it's March Madness. Real quickly, though, I want to make sure that you guys know that this show is dedicated to the victims down in southern Indiana of Henryville. Obviously, if you've not heard, that's a town that's just totally been wiped out by the yesterday's Twisters, as well as many other small communities around there in Ohio, Illinois, and Kentucky. I believe the death toll between all of those are around 29. Just a terrible, terrible tragedy. And excuse me, if you want to donate just $10 to the Salvation Army, just simply text 80888. So 80 and 38, 8088. Text Hoosier to the Salvation Army and donate $10 to the Salvation Army and help them in the relief efforts of just some terrible, terrible Twisters. Well, guys, welcome back to The Balance. My name's Tom Marquis. It's time to jump into some college talk. Joining us is Mr. $2 Bill Josh, Evan Williams of Bleeding Goat and Black, and Jimmy the intern from down at IU, guys. Well, let's just get it on this week, guys, because the line is in the sand and nothing says rivalry like Purdue and IU. And, guys, I got both sides of the coin right here with me, Mr. Evan Williams from Purdue University and Jimmy the intern from IU University. Guys, all the records go out. I know it's March. I know that, hey, you know, we're talking about tournament time, but let's talk about Purdue and let's talk about IU, which, by the way, they're going to be playing tomorrow night. So, Evan Williams, are you ready for the Hoosiers?
Oh, we're ready, Tom. We're ready to get some revenge for that loss earlier this year.
Now, you stated in your blog a few weeks ago that you will forever and eternally hate Indiana University. Was that a direct comment directed directly toward Evan Williams or just IU? I mean, toward Jimmy the intern.
No. I mean, I have a strong dislike in athletics for Indiana University. It's not people or the school itself.
Right. And Evan Williams, and by the way, you can also catch him on IndyProSports.com, giving us some fantastic coverage for Purdue University. Obviously, they had senior night this past week, and you guys had to say goodbye. You think he's going to make it up to the NBA in a late round draft pick Evan?
It'll be interesting to see. I think a lot of teams will be a little wary of Hummel just because of his injuries. But, you know, I think he's a deserving player to at least get a chance, you know, after everything he's been through. And he is a very talented player. I mean, you can't deny that. Whether he'll get drafted or not, we'll have to see. If he does, it'll be very late second round. But I could definitely see him getting picked up undrafted.
Yeah, I think a lot of it will be dependent on if he actually gets invited to the NBA, equal to the NBA combine, and see how well he does there. That could have a lot to play. But he certainly has a shot. I think that he would have a shot anyway and in a late-round pick. And obviously it's always good to see someone from an Indiana school make it big in the NBA. All right, Mr. Jimmy the intern, line in the sand. Are you ready for the Boilermakers?
I'd say so. I think the IUT is ready for Purdue. I'm ready to see him. I know Evan is probably more so ready because of how IU came into Mackey and beat Purdue the first time. If I was on that side of the coin, I would be totally ready for the team that did that to go down this Sunday. I'd be ready to go into wherever you needed to go and beat those guys to get a measure of revenge. I think IU's ready. I think I'm ready for Purdue, and I think it's going to be a great game, a great atmosphere.
All right, Josh, what are your thoughts on the IU-Purdue game?
Well, I'm ready. I'm in the IU camp, obviously, so I'm ready to see Purdue come. But, Jimmy, I want to know if you agree with me, and Tom, you're not a big IU fan, too. I'm an IU fan. I have a deep hatred for Purdue University. But even at the end of the day, I have to respect and admire, and I am going to miss seeing Robbie Hummel put on a Boilermaker uniform next year.
Yeah, I totally.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, yeah, I totally agree. Robbie Hummel is one of those guys. I had serious respect for Juwan Johnson and Etuan Moore last year. I had a whole lot of respect for Robbie Hummel. He's been through a whole lot, and Hummel especially, because just of the stuff he's been through. Maurice Creek. We know what he's going through. Robbie Hummel's basically done the same thing for Purdue. He's been a really good player for their program. I remember him going toe-to-toe with Evan Turner a couple of years ago, which was a great game. And the fact that he hasn't had the chance to really suit up the way he should, it makes you feel for the kid. Because Purdue, with Johnson and Moore, if Hummel had been healthy, I thought that was going to be a contender to be a Final Four team. That could have been a team that could win the national championship. Never got that chance. And to see him at least get to play one more year, it's heartwarming. It's nice to see.
All right, guys. Well, let's get into this conversation, obviously, on Sunday. I mean, Purdue is really just stoking their fire. I mean, they are at least one thing about IU. They're kind of where we thought they would be. Purdue has just really turned up the heat. Matt Painter is really doing a fantastic job on trying not only to get Purdue in the Big Ten tournament, obviously, which I think they'll do all right there, but into the NCAA tournament as well. So. Evan, let's break this game down. What are the things that Purdue has to do to beat Indiana, and what I'm comfortable in saying it at this point, although I could be wrong. I think Purdue's going to eke into the NCAA tournament, which is great and fantastic because I believe that we will also see IU there as well. I'm pretty sure we'll see both teams there. So let's talk about this. Purdue, the NCAA tournament, going to IU. They've been turning the heat up. Obviously, they've been playing a lot better basketball than what they did at the beginning of the season. So let's break this down by the numbers. What does Purdue have to do to beat IU on Sunday night?
Well, Tom, I think Purdue's pretty much secured their place in the NCAA tournament with the win over Penn State. That got them to 20 wins overall and 10 in the conference, and I just don't see how you can keep a 10-win team in the Big Ten out of the NCAA tournament. But for the game against IU, I really think Purdue just has to come out and they can't get behind. I think that's what killed them last time. They got behind at home against IU, and then they just couldn't gain the ground back. They couldn't get ahead. You know, they couldn't really build any momentum. I think this is a completely different team than what we saw in the earlier game this season. You know, since the dismissal of Kelsey Barlow, this team's really changed and really, I think, meshed together a lot better. You know, we've really seen DJ Bird step up. Robbie Hummel's been playing tremendous as of late. You know, he's really been that senior leader, that catalyst to Purdue needs. You know, I think Purdue just has to limit IU's chances in the paint with Cody Zeller. It'll be tough because, you know, Purdue really doesn't have that big guy like IU has with Zeller. So it'll be tough. I think if Purdue can limit Zeller in the inside, limit the three-point opportunities they give to guys like Halls and Watford, Oladipo, those guys, I think Purdue can do it. They're definitely ready for this game, and they're definitely wanting to get a win down at Assembly Hall, keep the winning streak alive.
All right, Jimmy, by the numbers, obviously you, Evan approaches it from the fan perspective, and you approach it from the media perspective, but I know you've had a lot more time and ability and resources to break down this game. So IU Purdue, by the numbers, what are the pluses and the minuses of this game?
Well, Tom, from the IU side, I feel like a lot of the pluses, Evan had a good deal of them. Talked about the inside game with Cody Zeller. That's going to be a crucial part. I think the biggest player that Purdue has essentially to go after Zeller is a combination of Jacob Lawson, the young guy, and then Travis Carroll, who really had trouble with fouls in the first game at Purdue. Purdue's going to have a lot of guys trying to throw themselves at Cody Zeller, but I don't know how well off they'll be doing that. It may be best served just going to a smaller lineup, throwing Robbie Hummel at him, and really trying to wear him out on the other end of the court. I really think that's what this game is going to come down to, Purdue's strategy with their rotations, because if they play small ball, I think that could end up causing IU a few more problems. The best lineup in that Purdue-IU game was a small ball lineup. It was Lewis Jackson. I believe it was Lewis Jackson, Tyrone Johnson, Ryan Smith, DJ Bird, and Robbie Hummel. And that lineup ended up being plus 13 for the night. And Purdue lost by a pretty substantial margin. So for that lineup to be plus 13 really speaks to how effective it was. So I think we can expect to see a lot of that. Tyrone Johnson is going to have to play a bigger role than he did in the first game out. He's been a lot more effective as of late since Kelsey Barlow left, and I think Purdue is going to need him to have a pretty good game. From the IU side, Evan's exactly right. Cody Zeller is going to be key. I think we're going to need to see something from Christian Watford, Jordan Holes, Verdell Jones. And Victor Oladipo, I think, needs to be outstanding as well. He was great in the first game. If he can be great this game, I think we're going to see a lot of positive things, because there are a few guys that struggled shooting the ball for IU, more than struggled it for Purdue, but IU didn't shoot it all that well either. And had Purdue came out and shot decently out of the gate, I think they would have beaten IU that day. So Indiana needs to come out strong, just like Evan talks about with Purdue. And if they do that, I think they've got a great chance to win this Purdue game, though. I'm actually more worried about it than the Michigan State game coming in. I think Purdue has a really good chance to beat IU, and I think they're going to give them everything they can handle.
All right, Josh, real quickly, before we get into more Big Ten talk, and obviously it's March, guys, so it's really time to start talking about what's coming up here on Selection Sunday here in a few short weeks, and obviously about the brackets in our buy and sell trade portion of the show. So, Josh, IU Purdue, obviously, I know, Evan, it always seems like we're ganging up on you. That's really not the case. It's just that you're with the wrong school. No, we love Evan. Evan does a great job for us on IndyProSports.com and does a great job for covering Purdue. And Purdue, like I said, is really a lot of hats off to them. I love them. They got a Class A facility out there. And I had a lot of time to spend some time out there during the football season and cover a lot of football games. Class act out there, the whole school is. But it is IU and Purdue. And, Josh, I know you're also on the IU camp.
Yeah, I'm also on the IU camp. I think there's a lot of momentum going on at Purdue right now involving the men's team and, of course, the women's team who's in the Big Ten semifinal here in just a little bit. I think Purdue, though, since Kelsey Barlow's gotten released from the team, which she should have gotten released a long, long time ago, in fact, probably never should have been put on scholarship, it's the better team out of the two, and I actually think Purdue's going to go into IU and beat IU by 10 to 12 points, and just based on the fact they got to have this win tomorrow. Do you agree, Evan? They have to have this win.
Evan, are you there?
Yeah, hold on. My phone was cutting out. I couldn't really hear too much.
Oh, it's totally okay. Josh asked you, Purdue has to have this win tomorrow. It has to be a must-win for them.
I think it's a very important win. I wouldn't say it's a must-win. I think Purdue's in a pretty good position where they're at right now as far as, you know, making the tournament and everything. But I definitely think it's a very important game just for the team, you know, especially because in the past couple seasons, Purdue's really had a dominance over Indiana, and I don't think the players really would like to see Indiana beat them twice in the same season. So I think it's a very important game. I wouldn't say it's a must-win, though.
All right, guys, we got to take a break, and we get back. Regroup, guys, because we're going to be talking Big Ten Tournament, and it is just right around the corner. And obviously, we're going to be gearing right up for our buy-sell trade portion of the show because, guys, we're getting you ready for your brackets. It's March. It's the balance, so it must be college talk.
Here comes the ready or not. Here comes the boy from the south. Here comes the ready or not.
Owning a pet can be so rewarding, but challenging at times. Do you have to work and can't make it to the vet? Are you away from home for long periods at a time? Is there a new pet at home that needs attention? Are you out of pet food and can't get to the store? Does your yard need cleared of pet waste? Do you have a unique pet that needs special care? Are you going away and you don't want to send your pet to the unfamiliar surroundings of a kennel? If so, Terry's Indie Pet Service can help in all these situations. In addition, full-service grooming will be offered later this year. When you hire Tips, you can leave home and know that your pet is exercised, fed, watered, and given medication, all in the comfort of their own environment. There is no longer a need for your healthy animal to stay in an uncomfortable kennel. Tips can solve the challenges of pet ownership. If you want the most personalized care for your pet, then hire Terry's Indie Pet Service. Visit her on the web at HireTips.com. That's HireTips.com. Or call her at 317-410-3377. Tips, your pets can play while you're away.
From early morning till late into the night.
It's a whole new way of life.
24/7, the hits are non-stop. WROM, realmsofmusic.com. Playing tomorrow's hottest artist today.
All right, boys and girls, welcome back to The Balance. It's Saturday morning. It's March. That means it's time to really dig in and dig the trenches for the March Madness. Believe it or not, it's right around the corner. Where has this year gone? My goodness, it has just gone. It seems like just yesterday college basketball season was just underway, and here we are. We're about ready to go into March Madness and the tournament. And obviously, we can't talk tournament without tournament talk, and that is obviously the Big Ten tournament, the big daddy of them all, and that is coming up here very, very soon. So how hard is it to win the Big Ten regular season championship? And go with you, Evan. We'll start with you. How hard is it? Obviously, we're looking at some big teams out there in the Big Ten, Ohio State, Michigan State, Michigan, Wisconsin, before we even begin to talk about some of the other teams like Indiana and Purdue in the Big Ten tournament. But how hard is it to win the Big Ten regular season championship, and who should we be looking at?
I think it's extremely hard to win the Big Ten regular season title. I've always stuck to this. I think the Big Ten is the best conference in college basketball, top through bottom. I think it's the most complete, and seems that there's always, you know, those big upset games where, you know, a bottom team beats a bigger, you know, higher ranked team. And I think it's a huge accomplishment if you win the regular season title, because it's tough. I mean, this is tough basketball. As far as who's going to win, Michigan State, I think, will beat Ohio State, but it is going to be a very tough game. I mean, if Ohio State does win, that'll put both Michigan State and Ohio State at 13-5. So it'll be interesting, but I'm going to go with Michigan State. You know, even after the loss to IU, I'm still sticking with Michigan State.
And I couldn't agree with you more, which obviously brings us to the conversation with Jimmy. IU, obviously, is Sunday's home loss to Wisconsin. The Buckeyes' chances for a three-peat was on life support, and Michigan State was about to enter the room and pull the plug, Jimmy. However, Indiana, IU had some other plans when they upset the Spartans by 15 points to set up Sunday's title showdown in East Lansing. Michigan State has earned at least a piece of the title, but a Buckeyes win will force a tie. If Michigan can get by Penn State on Sunday, then it would be a three-way championship. Who would have ever thunked it?
Yeah, and I think the other thing interesting, too, is how the schedule has been set up this year. The Big Ten schedule has been really weird this year. I don't like how it's been set up. I think the person who ended up making it should be fired, because they did kind of a poor job really combining everything and really going after the schedule. We saw IU play about seven games over a span of 2 or 3 weeks, which was tough. They were playing over games and games and games, and then had 3 weeks with 7 days in between games where, you know, they had to deal with that. And it's been that way all around the league. And right now I think that schedule's led to a team not being able to really get on a run and close things out. We saw Michigan State before that loss to Indiana get on a run, but Michigan hasn't been able to do it. Ohio State has not been able to do it. And I think we're looking at a situation where it could be a three-way tie for the Big Ten championship. There are a lot of Michigan State fans that I know who have been saying that they don't feel confident against Ohio State, that they think Ohio State's going to be able to potentially win that game. Tom Izzo likes sending his teams out to really save themselves for March. I wouldn't be surprised, and that's somewhat the case here, if they're not able to beat Ohio State, if Ohio State comes in but takes care of business. And I think Michigan has a pretty good shot as well. I think we could very well be looking at a three-way tie, and I may be inclined to pick that way.
Well, one thing is for sure, the bracket is starting to take shape in the Big Ten tournament. And really, I think this is going to shape up to be a good one. So let's talk about some what-ifs. Let's talk about what-ifs, and it is a big what-if. But what if IU somehow manages to put it together and win the Big Ten tournament? What a shakeup that will be, and if they are able to do that, Jimmy, in your opinion, should IU have at least a number 2 seed in the NCAA tournament?
I don't think so, Tom. I mean, no matter what happens, I see it being pretty hard for them to pull down a 2 seed going into March. You know, the Michigan State win was great. I think right now they're still locked in as a 4, which is pretty good. I mean, I wouldn't complain about a 4 seed. Purdue's not that high up on the line. They did a good job beating Michigan for a real signature win, their first of the season. And IU has a bunch of signature wins, but they also have some really head-shaking bad losses, bad losses, especially for any team that high on the line. Even if they manage to beat Purdue, which I don't think is a foregone conclusion, and even if they win the first couple games against most likely Nebraska and Minnesota, it's going to be hard for them to get up to a 2. I think they can get to a 3 with 3 wins here against Purdue and then the first 2 rounds of the Big Ten tournament. But IU's never played well in that thing. They never played well in the Big Ten tourney. And there are a lot of fans, I think, expecting them to do well, which I don't know is something that is – that I don't know if that's something that this team is built for, per se.
All right, Evan, let's talk with you about the Big Ten tournament. If you were to make some predictions right now, how do you think that the teams would be seeded, and how do you think that the outcome is going to be for the Big Ten tournament coming up?
Well, Tom, the upcoming games are really going to be a big part in determining that, because like you said, you know, we could end up with a 3-way tie for first place. But, you know, I think the top 4 teams are pretty much set now, you know, assuming Wisconsin doesn't lose, and then if Indiana or Purdue were to win, there would be another tie situation there. So I think it'll be Michigan State, Ohio State, Michigan, Wisconsin, the top 4 seeds. And then I think, you know, the current standings are a pretty safe bet as far as the seedings will go. You know, Indiana will be in either, you know, 4 or 5, Purdue, same situation. So I think that'll be it. And then the Big Ten tournament is really going to depend on, you know, who has the strength and who has the fight to, you know, go out there, because these are going to be tough, tough games like it always has been. There's always some big upsets in there. A team I'd keep an eye on in the Big Ten tournament, though, I'd really keep an eye on Michigan. I think they could definitely make some noise here. You know, they've been playing decent as of late. You know, they had the loss to Purdue. Then they got, you know, a pretty decent win on the road at Illinois. You know, Illinois has had some struggles this year, obviously, but you know, it's still always good to get a big road win. So I'd say keep an eye on Michigan, but I definitely think that I'm still going to stick with, you know, Michigan State right now. I think they've been playing well. You know, bad loss to IU they had, but I still think Michigan State's my favorite to win it.
All right, real quickly, guys, because it is tournament, I really want to mention them. I know we don't spend a lot of time talking about women's basketball. Evan, I know that you follow and write about women's basketball from time to time. And I know, Jimmy, sometimes you follow women's basketball. So let's talk about the Big Ten Women's Basketball Tournament, because it is tournament time. Obviously, they have a tournament as well. And as we've seen in the last couple of years, the women's basketball can be a pretty exciting tournament. So, Jimmy, we'll start with you. What are your thoughts on the women's basketball, Big Ten Women's Basketball Tournament?
Well, my thoughts are a few here. Number one, I have a soft spot for Ohio State and Samantha Perhalis. I saw them do a great job last year with her and Jantel Lavender winning the title in Indianapolis. This year, they don't quite have the same firepower, but they haven't lost yet. And really, Ohio State with Perhalis is 10-0, I believe the stat is, in the Big Ten tournament. So they've been doing a pretty good job. They're a good team, and you know, it's been pretty competitive. You know, there was a great game between Nebraska and Iowa yesterday. We saw Penn State go down. They were, I think, the regular season league champs, and so that was an upset. And Purdue's still making it. IU obviously went down. I think I don't know how confident I am in the ability of this team to retain their head coach, as she's kind of taking a few steps backward with these guys. And so IU doesn't have a whole lot of excitement, a whole lot of support for their women's basketball team. But these other squads, I think it's been a pretty strong tournament so far. I think it's cool things have gone the way they have. And, you know, looking forward to a strong finish to it.
All right, Evan, real quickly, I know that you write about women's basketball and Purdue. Women's basketball up there, Purdue has not been half bad either this year. So what are your thoughts on the women's basketball Big Ten tournament?
Well, Purdue started off with a good win. You know, they were a 4 seed, and they matched up against Michigan State. they got a nice 73-64 victory. You know, Brittany Rayburn, senior, scored 29 points. She's been great this season for Purdue, especially from 3 points. She went 7-for-10. Now they're matched up against number 9 Penn State. And, you know, that'll be a very tough game for the Lady Boilers, but I think they can do it. And I really think Purdue has a good shot of winning the women's Big Ten tournament.
I do, too. And I'm glad that you brought that up, because I think Purdue has an excellent shot of winning the women's Big Ten tournament. So let's do this real quickly, guys. We've got to take a break, and then we got to get back for our buy, sell, or trade last portion of the show. Remember, guys, if you want to donate to the victims to the terrible tragedy down in Henryville, Indiana, you can do that by texting Hoosier to 10-0-8-8-8. So 3-8 there at the end. That's, I'm sorry, 80888. So really all 8s but a 0. Go 80 and then 3-8 and you're good. Type Hoosier in there and donate $10 to the Salvation Army. I'm sure that they'll greatly appreciate it. Again, this show dedicated to all the victims down there in Henryville, and it was a sad event. Let me ask you this real quick, Jimmy, getting off topic slightly. I know that you were down in southern Indiana in Bloomington. Did you guys have very much bad weather down there in your neck of the woods? Because you were closer to the action than myself and obviously Evan was.
We managed to miss it, actually. And, there was a cell that rolled through, brought down a little bit of rain. It got pretty windy, but all in all, everything missed us. And seeing the stuff that went down in Henryville, went down in Maryville, it was that stuff was pretty bad. And you know, I'm thankful that things didn't end up hitting us too hard.
Absolutely. And I tell you what, it's always sad to see that happen, but it's always good that we can talk about some sports and do some positive uplifting as well. So, you know, it was just a tragedy that happened down there as well. Well, guys, let's get into some Big Ten picks real quickly. I want to get your pick for the women's and the men's Big Ten conference tournament, and then we're going to take a break and come back for our buy, sell, or trade portion of the show. So, Evan, women and men, who do you think is going to win? You obviously told us you think Purdue's going to win the women's, but who do you think is going to win the men's basketball tournament?
Tom, I think Michigan State's going to win the men's basketball tournament. You know, Tom Izzo is just a magician when it comes to March, and I really think he's going to get his team to play really well, rebound from that loss to Indiana, and, you know, just kind of run the table in the Big Ten tournament.
All right. Jimmy?
Tom, I think it's a crapshoot. I'm actually willing to say I don't think Michigan State will win. The Spartans never play well in this thing. I mean, I think the furthest any of his final four teams got was to the Big Ten tournament finals. I don't believe they won it. These guys just don't play well in this. I think this looks good for Ohio State, and more so a team like Michigan, a team like, say, Indiana. Maybe, you know, Iowa could do something. Purdue, I think, is a dark horse as well. Those teams, I think, have all better chances than Michigan State. Maybe not Iowa. You know, that gets a little bit out there. Michigan State never plays well in this thing. I think that's important to remember.
Well, who's your pick then? Official pick? Yeah, you gave us the political answer.
Okay, yeah. Official pick. I guess I'll go with Ohio State because I think they have a pretty decent shot. Either Ohio State or Wisconsin.
And what about the women's?
Ohio State, definitely. Samantha Perhouse, my girl, I'm getting behind her.
When you say she's your girl, does that mean that she's your girl when you're alone with your sock, or she's your girl because you like the way she plays, or she's your girl? don't answer that, Jimmy. Please don't answer.
I'll say all of the above. All of the above. All right.
Oh, man. We do digress here, guys, and obviously I like Purdue women, and I do think Ohio State will be right there. I think it'll be Purdue and Ohio State in the championship game, but I think Purdue could do it, and I'm going to root for them in the women's basketball. But as far as the men's basketball, guys, I still think there's too much strength there with Michigan State, and that might make people hate on me, but I think Michigan State will win the Big Ten tournament. So, you know, much is yet to be determined with a few games left to be played. Believe it or not, this is a very important part of the selection process coming up here in the next couple of weeks with the Big Ten tournament. Guys, when we get right back, it's going to be buy, sell, or trade.
Owning a pet can be so rewarding, but challenging at times. Do you have to work and can't make it to the vet? Are you away from home for long periods at a time? Is there a new pet at home that needs attention? Are you out of pet food and can't get to the store? Does your yard need cleared of pet waste? Do you have a unique pet that needs special care? Are you going away and you don't want to send your pet to the unfamiliar surroundings of a kennel? If so, Terry's Indie Pet Service can help in all these situations. In addition, full-service grooming will be offered later this year. When you hire Tips, you can leave home and know that your pet is exercised, fed, watered, and given medication, all in the comfort of their own environment. There is no longer a need for your healthy animal to stay in an uncomfortable kennel. Tips can solve the challenges of pet ownership. If you want the most personalized care for your pet, then hire Terry's Indie Pet Service. Visit her on the web at HireTips.com. That's HireTips.com. Or call her at 317-410-3377. Tips, your pets can play while you're away.
Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions. Work with them today.
Continuous hit music. This is what we are. What we are. This is what we do.
A lot of stuff.
WROM. Playing tomorrow's hottest artist today.
All right, welcome back to The Balance. My name is Saul Marquez, El Presidente. I'm going to tell you what, guys. I never knew who in the world LAMFO was until Super Bowl. And now I just can't get enough of them. I mean, I tell you what, I want to put a box on my head and get out there. Because you know why? Nobody will know who I am. Because when I dance, you'll want me to have a box or bag on my head. Are you a big LAMFO? LAMFO fan, guys?
Nope. I can take them or leave them. I mean, there's some songs out there that are pretty good, that are pretty solid, Tom. And I'm in the same boat with you as far as dancing is concerned. I'll pull out the shopping cart from time to time. But I don't have a whole lot else in my repertoire.
Evan, are you a LAMFO fan?
They're not bad, you know. Like Jimmy said, you know, they've got some songs I like. I was thinking about driving to Indy to see them when they were at the Super Bowl, but I just didn't really want to deal with the traffic and the crowd. As far as my dancing skills, I were pretty good. My fraternity last night at the Big Man on Campus Philanthropy here at Purdue took home second runner-up for the best talent for our dance routine, so I think I got some talent there.
You got it. You can shake your groove thing.
Oh, yeah.
What? You know what? I have no doubt that LAMFO, when they recorded this song, Evan, they had you in mind.
Girl, look at that body. Girl, look at that body. I work out. Girl, look at that body.
Oh, they definitely did, Tom.
You know what, man? I couldn't resist. Especially after you went out there and bragged about your dancing skills at your fraternity, how you were the hot man on campus there.
Oh, yeah.
I want to know, are you a member of the Breakfast Club up there?
Breakfast Club?
Yeah. Do they still have that? Or am I dating myself?
Yeah, but I'm not old enough to go to the bars yet, so I'm a little disappointed there.
Yeah, I'd have got nothing
for that.
Feel
your pain, Evan. Feel your pain.
Maybe this is just me when I was in college, but I didn't think that mattered when you're in college. I thought all you could do was just say, hey, I'm in college, and you know, you mean to tell me there's absolutely no drinking? You guys just sit around and drink Starbucks coffee at the frat house?
Of course, Tom.
Don't incriminate yourself here. No drinking at the frat houses. What are you guys talking about? They sing and they quote Bible verses and drink Starbucks. I get it. I know that's what a fraternity's all about. It's brotherhood. It's okay. Well, guys, we're going to get right into it. Like I said, we do digress, but we do get back on point. That's for sure. And we're getting into March, and it's March Madness, guys, and it's really time to start taking a serious look at the March Madness. And guys, the teams to watch and the games to watch. Because there still are some teams that are out there that are on the bubble. So let's just start with some of my teams on my list that we do every week. We call it buy, sell, or trade. You guys know the rules. I'm going to give you a team. We're going to talk about it briefly, and we're going to decide whether or not we want to buy, sell, or trade, or you know, move them on into the tournament. I guess when we say buy, sell, or trade, we're looking forward into the tournament because it is March. So certainly one of the teams that are on my radar right now, and I think should be in the absolute buy this category, especially as we get closer to March, is the Cavaliers of Virginia. I mean, they are currently listed as a team that, like I said, should be in an absolute meltdown. But I'm going to tell you one thing. These guys are a team to watch this year in the NCAA bracket March Madness. Jimmy, we start with you. The Virginia Cavaliers, buy, sell, or trade?
I'm going to sell Virginia just because they play in the ACC. I've gone on this spiel before. But the ACC hasn't been particularly challenging this year outside of Duke and Carolina. And I think they've taken advantage of kind of a weak schedule. They haven't looked all that impressive over the course of the year, either. They had a really tough loss, at least Florida State. And, you know, throughout the course of the season, Virginia has come up short a couple times. They've stayed ranked through most of the year. Tony Bennett's done a great job there, former Washington State coach. But I don't know if they have the pieces this year. I don't know if they have the guys and experience necessary to make a run in the tournament. And just based on what I've seen, I'm probably going to go against you here, Tom, and I'm going to say sell.
Okay. Evan.
I'm going to go to Jimmy, Tom. I'm going to sell Virginia. He hit on a lot of the points I was going to talk about. ACC is not strong, and, they've definitely taken advantage of that weak schedule. And, you know, recently they've played the top teams and they've lost. You know, they played them close, but, you know, they lost to North Carolina. They lost to Florida State. You know, they're definitely a tourney team, but I don't see them making a deep run, you know, second round, Sweet 16 at best. I'm going to sell Virginia.
Well, here's the thing, guys. One thing about March, you always got to look out for the dark horses. And no pun intended, but the Virginia Cavaliers are definitely a dark horse. So let's move on down to the Pirates of Seton Hall. I like these guys. Currently, they are sitting at 19-9 and 8-8 in the Big East, with two conference games remaining, both very, very winnable for Seton Hall Pirates. So, Evan, let's start with you. Buy, sell, or trade Seton Hall?
Let's see. Seton Hall. I don't think the Big East is strong at all this year. I think with their record, they'll probably get in maybe, but I'm going to sell Seton Hall. They've had some good wins. They've had some bad losses. So I'm going to sell Seton Hall. I don't think this team will make a big run.
Okay, Jimmy.
Seton Hall's an interesting case, and I think Evan's hesitance on one side or the other is, I think, indicative of how they've been. They have some pretty good wins, and they have some pretty bad losses. I think right now they're on the bubble. Like you said, they should be able to get in. And really, I don't know whether I want to buy or sell them. I don't think they're going to do particularly well in the tournament. I think they have the potential to maybe win a game or two. And if you're looking for them to not get much deeper than that, I have no problem with trading them, with, you know, going after them, trying to get a team of equal or greater value. I don't think Seton Hall is bad, but I don't think they're particularly good either. But right now, no one really thinks they are. So I think it's an interesting case there with Seton Hall.
Well, and, you know, here's one thing, and this is one reason why I looked at them this week. This is another team that really could make a run, and it could give some good teams some problems. And if they play the right team give them some fits, if you will, I really, really look for Seton Hall to make a run for this. So we'll see how that happens, guys. A couple other teams here on the bye part. I like Iowa State, not the Hawkeyes, but the Cyclones. You know, over there out of the Big 12, I really like this team. You know, obviously, another one that I like over there in the Big 12 as well, while we're talking about the Big 12, is the Kansas State Wildcats. They're in the Big 12. Both teams should get in, as Iowa State has a big win over Kansas and a few other solid wins over teams like Texas, Kansas State, in sweeps over Oklahoma, Texas A&M, Kansas State. So I like the Iowa State Cyclones and the Kansas State Wildcats. We'll go ahead and group the Big 12 in there together, Evan. Jimmy, let's start with you. Iowa State and Kansas State were my last two there in the by category.
Yeah, see, Tom, here I'm going to jump on with you and say I really like both of those teams. I'm going to buy both of them. And for the teams that have the potential to make a run, both of those are interesting. The Big East hasn't really been all that intriguing with Seton Hall. And we've already talked about the first team there. We already talked about Virginia. These two guys, I think, are a different case. Iowa State has some really surprisingly good wins. Former Pacer Fred Hoiberg leading the charge down there. And Kansas State, I don't know exactly how far they're going to be able to go. I think their offense hinders them. But they look like a potential Sweet 16 team just because they're going to be able to slug it out with just about anyone in the country. I think Kansas State's in a good position to win a couple games, get to the Sweet 16. And you never know. If they get a favorable matchup and their opponent goes cold, I think they have the potential to beat someone like Duke or Missouri. So I think both those teams have pretty decent chances on buying both of them.
All right. Evan, what are your thoughts?
I agree, Tom and Jimmy. You know, I'm going to buy both of these teams. Really like Iowa State. They've got some really big wins this year. You know, beating Kansas was a huge win for them. And even in a couple of their losses, you know, on the road at Missouri, they were really close. It was a 6-point game. On the road at Baylor, another really close game. So I really like this Iowa State team. I definitely think, you know, they're a good team that can make a run in the tournament. I can see them getting the Sweet 16, definitely. And Kansas State, I like them too. You know, they've got some big wins this year too. And, you know, Jimmy said they're going to be able to slug it out. You know, tough team. I think they're going to be able to contend with the big guys in this tournament just because of how tough they are, how hard they play. So I like both of these teams. I definitely think they can both make a run.
All right, guys. Well, let's talk about some teams that really I think might be on the bubble there, but I kind of want to just say let's go ahead and sell them. Although you guys, don't seem to be swinging in my direction this week, so I could have it all wrong. But here are some teams that I think that we should sell. They are too close to the bubble for my comfort zone. So we're gonna start with the St. Louis Bikens. See, you don't even know who they are, but they are in St. Louis. Billigans. There we go. Billigans. But they are in St. Louis, so they do get an eye from me. Because St. Louis is my favorite city next to Indianapolis. Why? Because the St. Louis Cardinals are there, even though Albert Pujols is not there. But that's another show later on in the year. So St. Louis, I think we should sell them. They have a solid 22-5 record with multiple solid wins. But I just think that they just really aren't playing anybody that really impresses me a lot. So a lot of people like them. A lot of people like them, but I think that you need to sell them. So I think it's your turn, Jimmy. No, Evan, it's your turn. Go ahead, Evan. I don't know whose turn it is.
All right, yeah, like you said, Tom, they don't play a real tough schedule. They do have a great record this year, and they have been playing some good basketball. I've watched a couple of their games. They have been playing some good basketball. They just beat Xavier. They had a big one over them. I know Xavier's definitely had some struggles this year and been through a lot. Still a nice win. They actually swept them this year. It'll be interesting to see whether or not they'll get a berth. I think they'll kind of need to make a run in the conference tournament. So I'm going to have to lean towards sell right now. We'll see after the Atlantic 10 tournament.
All right, Jimmy, now it is your turn.
Now, Tom, call me a gambler, but there's a lot with the St. Louis team that I like, and I'm almost worried about short-selling these guys. I want to hold on to them just a little bit longer, potentially trade, because like Evan said, it's going to be interesting to see how the Atlantic 10 tournament plays out. But also, I think that this has the potential to be really the best team in that conference. Temple's been up there. We all know about Xavier. But St. Louis has done some really good stuff. They're a really strong defensive team. Rick Majerus, we all know what he's about. And if these guys can get on a bit of a roll, this is another mid-major team that can cause problems for people. There are pretenders like Belmont from last year, like Utah State. And St. Louis has some decent wins on that resume. They beat Xavier. When Xavier is playing a little bit better as well. So I think these guys are inside the bubble. I think they're going to get into the tournament. And I'm nervous to sell them quite yet. So I'm gonna say trade, see if I can get some different value for them. Or even I'll hold on to them.
All right, guys. And obviously we know that I like Murray State. But another team out there that I think that we should get rid of that may not make it, but it plays right along the same area as Murray State, and that's the Wichita State Shockers. I don't like them. I think that we talked about them a couple weeks ago, I believe, but I'm just not a big fan of them, and I'm going to go ahead and sell them. I did buy them a few weeks ago, but I think they've not really proven anything to me that's exciting. So, Jimmy, Wichita State Shockers.
I'm going to buy Wichita State. I think that this is one of the best mid-major teams in the country. I think that they can give trouble to just about whoever they play. They deserve their ranking every bit of it. I'm bullish on Wichita State. I think if there's a team out there that's going to do some good things in the NCAAs as a mid-major, non-Mountain West division, because obviously the Mountain West is pretty strong this year, I think it's Wichita State. I really like the way they play. They're balanced. They got a good big guy inside. They have some good guard play all around. I really like this team. They killed Davidson in the bracket buster, and Davidson's not a bad squad. We learned about them right there. We talked about that on the show, actually. Wichita State, I think, is for real, though. They're a very, very good team.
Okay, Evan, what are your thoughts?
I'm going to buy Wichita State as well. I really like the way they've been playing. They've just pretty much dominated conference play in the Missouri Valley. And I think Wichita State's going to be a team that'll get in and cause trouble for, the big teams. A couple of years ago, I think it was that Wichita State had a run in the tournament. And I think this is one of those types of teams, they've really, played well all throughout the conference play. And I think that's important. I think you got to keep an eye on that. And like Jimmy said, they just beat a pretty decent Davidson team, just demolished them. So I like Wichita State, and I'm going to buy them.
All right, guys, real quickly, one more team, and then we want to talk a little bit about some of these bubble teams that might make it as well. But I know we've talked about Colorado State before, but I'm just not a big fan of them. I'm going to go ahead and sell Colorado State. Obviously, I'm more of a conservative thinker than a lot of you guys out there. A lot of you like Colorado State. They're 18-10 overall, and 7-6 in their conference there. I just think that they always struggle, even though sometimes they find a way to make a win against some good teams. Obviously, they beat number 17 UNLV on Wednesday night. But I don't like Colorado State, and I think we should go ahead and get rid of them. So go ahead, Evan.
I'm going to agree, Tom. I'm going to sell Colorado State. I don't think they have what it takes. 18-10 overall in the Mountain West. I don't know if that'll do it as far as getting in the tournament. So I'm going to sell them. I just don't like the team right now. So sell.
Okay, Jimmy?
Yeah, it's been interesting because I'm going to sell them too. I think we're all on the same page here. Evan and I have been doing a whole lot of agreeing, and I think this is another case because, Tom, I think you hit it on the head with this one. This Colorado State team, not only do they have a legitimate chance of not making the tournament, I don't see them doing a whole lot, even if they get in. They have a chance to really shoot themselves in the face in terms of a bad conference loss here over the last week. And I'm actually surprised that they managed to come out of it all right. I don't like Colorado State. And I guess I'll go with Evan and say I just don't think they have what it takes. I'll jump in there, say that, and think there are a whole lot of better options out there. I'm ready to sell these guys.
All right, guys, let's talk about the bubble teams real quick here. We've got about 4 minutes or so left in the show. And so what I want to do is you guys just let me know, should these guys get in or not? The Cincinnati Bearcats, they beat number 8 Marquette on Wednesday. But the big elephant in the room with these guys is their out-of-conference schedule. It's one of 20 and the worst in the country, and they went 10-3 against it in their non-conference schedules. So should the Bearcats get in or not, Evan?
Yeah, Tom. Like you said, the out-of-conference schedule is kind of shaky. I do think Cincinnati will get in. They could have completely went downhill after the incident with Xavier earlier this year, and they really picked it up and they've really played well as of late. So I'm gonna say Cincinnati gets in.
All right, Jimmy.
I agree, and I think they deserve to get in. Their non-conference schedule was pretty weak, and the Big East isn't great this year. That Marquette win gives them something that they needed. They have a couple other pretty good wins throughout the course of the year. They've had a chance to play some decent competition. And in the way that they've performed in those games leads me to believe that this is a team, maybe not a ranked quality team, but someone who deserves to get into the tournament. The bubble's been pretty weak this year. We're talking with a straight face about South Florida before they managed to win an actual pretty big game. We're talking about Middle Tennessee State as an at-large team, Akron. If these are the teams we're talking about, Cincinnati deserves to get in on their own merit.
All right, guys, one more team, one more bubble team, and we're going to be out of time here. The Hurricanes of Miami. Obviously, you don't have the prettiest resume except for that win over Duke. But this team can win in hostile environments, and they've held their own deep in the ACC. I think they do sneak in. Miami, do they get in or not? The Miami Hurricanes, Jimmy.
I think Miami's in trouble because they're missing now their best player. They did a good job to beat Florida State in their first game without Reggie Johnson, but I don't know how long they're going to be able to keep it up. They may end up having to vacate some of the wins that he played in because of him being ineligible at the time, apparently, with the impermissible benefits from Frank Hayes and his squad and his staff. I don't think Miami is going to make it, and I think they're going to have some trouble. But they could surprise some people.
All right, Evan, real quickly.
Yeah, like Jimmy said, losing Johnson is huge for Miami, huge loss. So I don't see them getting in. They lost some pretty bad games, and I just don't think it's a good tournament team. So it'll be interesting to see, but I don't think Miami will get in as of now.
All right, guys. Well, that's going to do it for us. So, Evan, I know people can find you on IndyProSports.com, but where else can people find you in the World Wide Web and your masterpieces?
You can find some of my masterpieces, if you'd like to call them that, at my blog, bleedinggoldenblack.blogspot.com, where I cover Purdue. And then you can follow me on Twitter at Evan_Williams25, where I tweet about everything under the sun.
And, Jimmy, where can people find your work? Not on IndyProSports.com. Sorry, I had to make that jab, but go right ahead. I know you're busy. Go ahead.
Well, you had to, you had to put that out there. You can follow me on Twitter at JPCIV. A lot of my written work has been up on IESportCom.com. I actually had a piece go up the other day. Got some pretty decent traffic on it. It's good. In my opinion, it's a good piece. You can check it out. Keep your eye there for any developments on that front.
All right, guys, and of course, you can find me here on the ballots and my work also on IndyProSports.com. Guys, we'll be back next week again. Our thoughts and prayers go out to the tragedy down in Henryville, and if you'd like to donate, you can text to 80888. Text Hoosier to the Salvation Army and donate $10. Guys, that's going to do it. We'll see you all next week right here on The Balance. So glad that you stopped by. Remember, be safe out there. And, don't drink and drive. Really not cool.
Boo!
Boo!
That was the worst thing I ever heard.
It was terrible.
Horrendous.
Well, it wasn't that bad.
Oh, yeah?
Well, there were parts of it I liked.
Yeah, I liked a lot of it.
Yeah, it was good.
It was great.
It was wonderful.
Well, bravo!
More!
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 Well, when you gotta go, you gotta go.
You have made me very angry. Very angry indeed.
Oh, son of a bleep, son of a bleep, gun. You thought I was gonna say son of a, didn't you?
That's all, folks.